March the 24th, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradiomaradspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So once again, we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran's Surah 58, Ayat 7. Allah is amongst the group. Question. I wonder if you could speak on something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us as divine revelation, but the world has made us to listen to each other. Could you speak on the ability of people to listen to other people in the spiritual realm? Imam W. Dean Muhammad. You mean when we are interacting like we are now? Not necessarily when we are disconnected. That happens too when we are disconnected, because when we see ourselves disconnected, God has connected all of us. So we are connected though we see ourselves not connected. So we are connected as light. But she is talking about like we are sitting here. There are spiritual orders or spiritual devotional societies that meet together just for that purpose. They have it as their main function of their spiritual organization or spiritual group to meet together. Even Muslims do this. Meet together just for that purpose so that we will learn how to have patience and how to believe in the will and the spirit of God and how to sit there or sit and have patience, reflect on God, reflect on his wonderful name, his purity, and reflect on his peace to come more into his peace so that we become peaceful, that the things that normally trouble us are not reaching us at that particular time. You have separated yourself from all trouble and you are just dwelling in God's peace. I'm using these terms for what are other terms that you would perhaps understand better to be in God's peace and to have patience and wait on him, not to ask for cake and ice cream or for a drink of water. Ask for nothing. Just be patient and wait on him. And while you are waiting patiently, you are doing this in a conjunction with the other members of your immediate environment and circumstances. And if you do that, God brings great relief to your soul and spirit. And sometimes God enriches your mind and understanding. So you should wait on God to manifest in one of you his mercy and his blessings to that effect. So these spiritual orders believe that one person will speak, sometimes one will speak, and another will follow, and the different ones will speak who are witnessing this. They believe that when they speak, it is God they are hearing and not themselves. I said all of that to point to people who have faith. First, we must have serious faith like those people who had practiced that kind of spiritual obedience and silence, where they silence their own interests for the sake of knowing God. We have to have faith. We have to have patience, and we have to have that degree of seriousness to have what we need to listen to each other. The wisest of people, you can have a room full of PhD, and they have trouble listening to each other. It is not a lot of knowledge that is needed to have us listen to each other. It is just a certain condition of the spiritual and soul. We need to be able to listen to each other. So we put God first and foremost, and we realize that what we have to offer is absolutely nothing when it is seen in the light of what God has to offer us. And we don't think of ourselves so important, then we can shut our mouth for a while and listen to each other. The truth of real intelligence is that you will listen to others. There's one of the greatest signs and greatest evidence of a person being intelligent. They will listen to others. Anybody who has to talk all the time and is uncomfortable listening to other persons, even though that person may be under you in knowledge or formal education, if you have no willing spirit to listen to them, your intellect is flawed badly. Sister, you have a listener here, and I love to listen to others, and I encourage to all of you to listen more than you talk. Listen a lot and talk a little. The Quran, Surah 59, Ayah 7, wealth not calculated in hand of the few. Welfare. So Luke 10:30, Good Samaritan. Vex 6, okay, and the neighbor who are near. Okay, and the neighbors who are strangers, he says, and the companions by your side. Wednesabil, and the welfarer, Wednesabil, and the traveler, or like you say, child of the road. It's a welfarer, child of the road. So it's not exactly a child of the road, because child of the road means a person who's never had a home, like a person who's always been out of doors. But this means your child of the road. See, it is that what Nasabil means, that they are homeless, a person that are stranded in the road. And those stranded in the road, yes, sir, some people just roam from place to place. What you call people like that, vagabond, a vagabond. No, that's an ugly sense, and this is a good sense. But Nasabil is out of time, because a long time ago, people used to be of the road, and it was honorable. They would be traveling for work in different places, never sitting down in any place, or they would be traveling like the Bedouin, moving their whole community. But this person be traveling place to place, like maybe looking for income, but he might be stranded tonight. He needs some place to stay until he can find a job in this place, you know. No, something like that. Not quite that either. And then some would just travel for education. That would be the way he got his education. He would travel to different places. He will get some information on certain scholars in such and such place, and he would travel all the way just to go to that scholar. And after he studied there, he moved on to another place. So there was many reasons why they were people of the road, you know. So really the time has changed, and this meaning is too more the same to apply you to be applied, you see. So I think if we put persons stranded in the road, I think it would be better because it's a person that deserves some help. Okay, now here is a problem connected with hereafter. And it's changed its meaning long time ago, this word for host, pardon me, guest, for guest, host. But the word is guest, right? So guest, plural. So this word now, a long time ago, it would be right. I mean, even in this connection, it would be good, be all right, but now it's not. You know this word used to mean like the Good Samaritan, the man who needs help, the victim in the parable of the Good Samaritan. He was deified. He was deified. It's singular. I believe for this word, deified means your guest or guest. Deified, but it means that guest is on you at the time. So the guest is on you because of some need or some weakness or some kind. So really in their thinking, in another society it's good, but in our society I don't think it's so good. Even in their society now they are changed. So deified, we guess stranded. So this deified means a guest who needs your support, needs your protection, pardon me, needs your protection, you see. And you know the word deaf means weak or sickly or something. So this deified is of that same word, but it is not a vice. It is not a weakness. Because of sickness, it is a weakness because of situation. So your guest in older days, olden days, was somebody who was stranded like the welfarer. He is a victim of circumstances. Then he took him to the inn, and at the inn, he became a deified, which is the singular of this word, he became a guest. So the guest was because of his weakness. There's some weakness, some need, you see. So he needed the protection of the inn, right? So we don't want this kind of word. What we want is the other word that you use. You want visitor. And even if you go to another place, another city, and you host some people, it still would be better to treat them as visitors. So this is deified. So what I would suggest is that you just get rid of all the Arabic and don't use the Arabic terminology, but use the guests in English. That's right. Use the host and hostesses. So that's right. Use just the English, hostess and hostess. Hospitality and the treatment of the word is good. Okay, so just leave all the Arabic out. The Arabic word has a different meaning and it should have been treated to if you're going to use English, you see. You have to treat the Arabic word too. So the Arabic word deafi comes from he says it won't quiet. It won't quite fit what you want to do, you see, because these people are not people who need your protection or stranded or something, although when somebody comes into your meeting, they are your responsibility. They get hurt in there, you're responsible. So they are in a weaker situation when they are your guests. They are in a weaker situation, but I think if we went into it and explained, put the English beneath the meaning, we could do it to the Arabic. So I say if we do it to the Arabic, we'll have to trace it back to a dependency on us or something, and we wouldn't want them to think like that, or you're conscious of them. Some things used in here is okay. So in fact, this English, all this English is okay, but to treat the Arabic definition would be a problem, so we want to take all the Arabic out. The Quran, Surah 59, Ayah 2 to 5 and 9 to 14. War Conduct, Bukhari, Volume 4, page 25, 27, and 28. War Conduct. Long before the modern world took interest in preserving animal life, vegetation, trees, etc., environmental concerns, he told them how to conduct war. Doesn't harm, don't harm women, children, elderly, and religious houses. The Quran, Surah 59, Ayat 19, forget God, he forgets you. Meskebet, Volume 2, 54, Knowledge, Laws, Possession, Like Stray Beasts. Prophet Muhammad says science is the lost possession of the believer. And under Muhammad, science lit the world again. It was lost because we became selfish, satisfied like fat-bellied Arabs who betrayed mission of Al-Islam and began to wallow in the comfort of Al-Islam, brought and forgot about the discipline. God said, if you forget me, I'll forget you. So the Quran, Surah 61, Ayat 4, be as a solid wall. The Quran, Surah 13, Ayat 2, heaven raised without pillars you can see. Some of you doubt faith. You do not want to trust faith. So your faith is weak. And I'm sure a lot of you come from Christian backgrounds. And a lot of you in the radio listening audience are Christians, perhaps. And you might recall the preacher saying, quoting the gospel, Christ Jesus, peace be upon him. If you have so much faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can do wonders. In the Quran and also the Bible, those two books say very much of the same thing when addressing major issues of doubt and faith. My mother had me take care of the garden. I saw her planting mustard seeds so we could have some mustard green. These seeds are so small and light and a little breeze can blow them away. That is how small the light they are. But if you take one grain of mustard seed and put it on your finger, be careful because you will drop it. You can hardly see it. If you rub it, you will see that it's hard. And you look at it, and it looks dead. But when you put it in the place where God intended to go to have life again, it becomes a big bush. And just one leaf of that mustard has weight. The grain of the mustard seed looks dead, and it is hard. Solid faith. So Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, taught his followers what God revealed in the Quran, to be together as a solid wall. We stand together, shoulder to shoulder as a solid wall. So when we pray together in congregational prayer, and we are standing upon faith, we take the stand upon faith. God says, look at the heavenly body. And both scriptures point us to the heaven for us to observe the wisdom for a higher order for human life on this planet Earth. God says, observe the body that you see in the sky and how they appear to be supported without props or support under them that you can see. What is that saying to us? That is saying not only your life, but the existence of the material universe is existing upon power that you cannot see. The sun, you cannot see what is holding it up. The moon, you do not see what's holding it up. There, you get a telescope and you look at planets, material bodies of material mass bigger than ours. A planet like Jupiter, and you cannot see looking at them in a telescope what is holding them up. And science tells you of trillions and trillions of tons, not pounds in that mass. And there is hanging out there in space seemingly without no support holding it up. So that is the point. So that is pointing out to us to tell us true, trust the God who designed this creation. Trust the God who designed the universe. Trust him. You cannot explain everything. He did. Trust him. He owes, and he knows, and you know not. So look at what he has done and come up with your explanation for it. I know all about universal gravity. That is what science tells us. But when the farmer looks up there, he doesn't see any universal gravity. All he sees is a big body up there and nothing holding them up. So God's lesson is going to stay on matter. So when science says, God gives us a lesson. Have faith in the Lord who has designed this world and creation. The way it is designed is too big. For your mind to grasp. Have faith in the one who designed it and don't doubt. Die to your own life. Die to your mind and live again. The parable of human life is like a plant. There is scripture, not one scripture, to live again. The plant produces a soft, moist thing called a fruit, even if it becomes a crusty thing with a hard crust over it, like a walnut. It was soft before it became hard. Later it becomes hard and it invites you and your curiosity to go inside it. And you go inside it and you find some soft meat, the walnut meat, and it chews nice. If you put that hard nut in the ground and it gets the situation that God created for it to have a birth, it will have a birth. The soft will break through the hard and take roots in the earth. It will spring up, not a walnut, but a walnut tree with bushes of walnut. That is God's work. So have faith that your little dried up life will have life again. Give it to the plan of God and it will come to life again and spring up bigger and better and more abundantly than it was before. The Quran, Surah 61, Ayah 10, shall I lead you to a bargain? The soul can become defeated, defective, distorted, warped, ill-formed if the wrong thing gets into the soul. Can be destroyed by the world. But if we can keep the soul pure, unadulterated in the human form that God made for it, this soul will keep signaling to our mind, our intellect, our duties, our responsibilities, and will keep pursuing us until we fulfill our part of the bargain with God, commercial bargain, that you will be so pleased with. Fulfill your obligation to God. The Quran, Surah 61, Ayah 10, shall I lead you to a bargain. So this verse ties business with a hope for success. It puts business into focus with the hope for success. This says that we are missing the real thing when we are going away from Allah to the dollar for success. Tajira equals commerce, business, enterprise, something that invites and promises profit, material gain. Allah says, shall I turn you onto a business interest that will save you? He didn't say that it will make you rich. Many people are rich, but they are lost. Allah then tells us what to believe in, Allah and His Messenger. Why? We have to believe in Allah and in ourselves. So the Messenger is the model for ourselves. He is the type, personality, that Allah wants in us. Prophet Muhammad is the ideal human model. The Quran, Surah 61, Ayat 14, Jesus said, be my helpers of Allah. So when Jesus found unbelief on their part, he said, who will be my helpers to the work of Allah? Said the disciples, we are Allah's helpers. So we believe in Allah, and we do thy bear witness that we are Muslims. Now notice the word that are used here. Jesus said, and they answered by saying, Ansurullah. So the word is that's the key, helper. But helper to what? What is? It is all of a word, victory. Helper to victory, not just helper. Helper can be helping in anything, could be. Helping the build of my masjid. But helping for the victory's sake. They have an object down the road. They have a goal to reach. He was asking for helpers that would help him in reaching the goal, gaining the victory. So what is the victory? Truth, freedom, justice, and equality. Who will be my helpers to free the minds of oppressed men so that thy promised land of the true freedom, justice, and equality, dignity, will come, will become a reality for us. Who will be my helper? Who will be Jesus' helpers, not worshipers? So what is it saying? Jesus didn't ask for Arabic. He didn't say who will become my slave or my worshipers or my servants. He said who will become my helpers. He wanted people to help him reach the victory. Those people that helped him reach the victory are not his servants. That's why they answered, we are Ansurullah. We are the servants of God. And we bear witness that we are the true people, that we are the Muslims. Oh, how wonderful it is. Our Lord, we believe. And what thou hast revealed, and we follow the apostle. Then write us down among those who bear witness. Their prayers was not to die on the wrong side or to die and not be recorded that they were on the right side and not on the wrong side, that their hearts of the true believers, he wants to be on the right side and he wants the record to record him as he was, that he was not with the wrong people. He was on the right side. The Quran, Surah 62, Ayat 2. Muhammad, purified teacher. The process of revelation requires the Holy Spirit be in it, evolved, and also that the angels be evolved. And then man can be reached through revelation, communication. And these are pure beings that come from high up where there is no impurity. Now it's a sign that the impurity are down here. And the higher you go, the more you get into pure air. So revelation cleans man. Then the intellect improves power, potential. The cleanliness is needed first. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is working on us. He has selected us for himself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us purified. He wants us to love righteousness, to love cleanliness, to love decency so that he may complete his favor on us, his blessings on us. The blessings that he wants to complete need us first to become clean and decent in our hearts. than in our soul and in our minds. So we got the rational potential. We got the intellectual potential, but that is not the state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless unless it has decency, cleanliness, desire for righteousness, desire for cleanliness, desire for decency. So he gives us revelation that before it reaches our intellect, it already touches our heart, and it wants us to be more decent before our Lord. It wants us to be cleaner, more truthful before our Lord. It begins to work on us, put us in a clean, decent state, and in a more sincere state before even the intellect comes into contact with the great rational message for the future progress of people on this earth. So promised land is for the intellect. You know, when the body wakes up in the morning, the eyes open up, please don't try to get up out of the bed before the eyes open up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing us with leaders who love righteousness, decency, truthfulness, who love sincerity, leaders male and female. And these are going to be the ones that take us into the promised land, land for our intellect, so that we will have thinkers, scholars, and scientists born amongst us who will get the attention of the literate, would just like those got the attention of the literate world in the time of our prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, from hearing the Quran explained and taught by him. Someone might say, oh, you are referring to yourself. No, I said we would have leaders, not just myself. I'm not just one. We will have leaders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless and is blessing because of their sincerity, their desire for righteousness and decency, uprightness and cleanliness, etc. So the Quran says he will purify them and teach them the book and the wisdom or the rule of logic. For the book which will make them wise and give birth to scientists. Dawn is of the intellect. Now going back to the interpretation of the night of power as Muslim era or the Muslim age, reading on the Genesis and the beginning of creation and understanding that the agent of God, the Holy Spirit, and the angels were really pure beings. And they must descend first, and then the revelation comes, and then the dawn, the day and the dawning. A day with the Lord is as a thousand with you. It's the scripture, isn't it, before? The old scripture, a day with the Lord is a thousand with you. So here comes the day, the dawning of the intellect. The dawning of the intellect, when this dawning starts happening in the intellect, then the same thing starts happening in the garden. The same thing happens for the world that happens for the garden. Say God created the man, put him in the garden, then he charged him to do what? Dress the garden. Dress the garden. So garden believers will be in the garden of their soul. So these ones who love righteousness, purity, they will be awakened. Their intellect will be awakened. And they will see themselves standing in the garden of their own souls. And they will get the message from God, dress the garden. And the Lord that revealed the word of the Quran to answer our intellect, to turn us on scientific inquiry, as well as to obedience as servants. The same God will have us pretty soon dressing the garden. Say these soul brothers, they will have their souls dressed up with clothes manufactured by them, with homes developed, built by them, with factories established by them, with streets paved by them. Now, this is dressing the gut. My soul is here, but it needs dress. So you should see me in my dress. That's the way I want to see a soul brother. I want to see a soul brother in a skyscraper that he put up. I want to see the soul brother in a cement factory that he's operating, an automobile factory that he's responsible for, etc. Wouldn't that be dressing the garden, dressing the soul brother? He would be dressed up, and wouldn't he? Lord have mercy. So Quran Surah 62, Ayah 2, prophet sent to purify and educate. And it is even worse when others have to come in and provide those things for us. So let us forget, not forget, that those things that we think, or perhaps only in abstract, are very much necessary as energizers, as germs of life, to manifest material interest. And we include in the picture taqwa, takhira, purity. These represent the precious beginnings of the real life for the mind of man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, to lead us out of the darkness into the light and to purify us and to break every bond of slavery. He wasn't free, not to free to enjoy the world like hungry animals, but free to enjoy the world like intelligent men. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us perform in the life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for us. Human life, compassionate life, life that has consideration for other life, feels need for others, life that is intelligent, not foolish, a life appreciating beauty and appreciating order and orderliness. So this is what makes second man, the higher man and creator. He is sensitive to the more important thing, and he understands that although the material world is the first wound of life, he understands that digesting, understanding that the material world gives him a higher existence in a higher world of abstract, where abstract becomes a higher language of the material world than the ABC block of the material language that we learn in elementary levels of our trip in the place of enlightenment. In Arabic, Basharun. Basharun is the good news. Bashira is the good news giver. So we don't call human skin by this name, but the piling of apples, pardon me, the peeling of apples has this name. The skin of the outer thing. So this is to tell us that this new man, God creates him in his own sensitive concern, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala formed his life anew out of those sensitive concerns. So the Quran Surah 62, Ayat 5, donkey carrying books. Knowledge should also structure you. There are many African Americans with doctorate degrees that have nothing but time and leisure. Some of these people have no more than the bums in the streets has. A whole lot of time and nothing to do. Anyone who has earned a doctorate degree should not be idle. They are supposed to have the intelligence to make a job for themselves. They are supposed to have enough sense, establish themselves. So what is the problem? The problem is that the African American is not really structured by the knowledge he has acquired. When you acquire knowledge, that knowledge should also structure you. Some people just have the knowledge, but they have not structured their own life after that knowledge. Their life is the life of a poor man. They are like the Quran says of them, a donkey carrying huge loads of books. So you can have 50 PhDs, but if you just memorize the knowledge in order to pass the required examination, then you have not grown with that knowledge. But if you have grown with your learning so that it influences the shaping of your life, and you take a principle dictated by that knowledge you receive, then you will grow and be in the likeness of your knowledge. If you have the dignity of your field, you will not accept to be idle with the poor. Why can't the African and the African-American people establish themselves? Why can't the African-Caribbean people establish themselves? We are all the same people from the same African ancestry, and we are all depending on the white man for hope. We have no vision of our own. We just follow the white man's light. Therefore, we stay in the dark. So the object of life is to save, is to serve, pardon me, the object of life is to serve God. What will bring the African-American into proper ordering of his emotionality into the proper devotional urge rather than the pleasure urge? So this world sells its citizens on the pleasure urge. They say that the pleasure is the first motivation. That's the object of man's life, is to be happy. Yes, happiness is the primary need in life. It certainly is basic. But the wise don't call it happiness. They call it well-being. They say that the natural object, the natural goal of life, is well-being. Happiness is too vague of a term to describe this material goal. Let's take a look at the word well-being. Well-being is not only an essential requirement in our life. It is an essential requirement in the life of anything. The dog, the cat, or any other creature will struggle for well-being. But well-being for the human being is a big term because the limits for our growth are much bigger than the limits for the growth of an ordinary animal or creature. We may be happy. We may start out seeking to acquire something that our life needs. We may acquire what we were seeking and still not find happiness, because what we needed or wanted was just one part of what our life really needs. While we were seeking it, so we thought that was the whole. We might say, if I could just get that, I know that I will be happy. Finding happiness. Some people think that if they get enough wealth where they don't have to be insecure or feel any material threat, they will be happy. Most people who have a lot of money are not really happy. There are some people who think if they got enough knowledge, it will make them happy. You will find that some of the saddest people are those with PhDs. None of these things just mentioned are a guarantee for happiness. The only guarantee for happiness is that you please God. God says of those who please him that he will make their life pleasing to them. So this is well-being. Emotionality is a baby state in the evolution of man. So the same condition that keeps the African-American people out of progress is a necessary condition to bring them to the proper state. So this emotional makeup that keeps them out of the progress will keep them out of establishing, if allowed to prevail in their lives. So this same condition is also necessary to get them on the right path. Emotionality is a baby state in the evolution of man. If we look at the levels of progression that life goes through, that society historically has to rise to, we know that the state of emotionality is one of the primitive states of man. But nevertheless, it is that emotional state that you must first order correctly before you can find your correct way in the world. So faith is a form of emotionality. Emotionality in this proper state is a suitable womb for the birth of the intellect. So faith is a form of emotionality. I have faith because of my emotional makeup, my spiritual expression, my fears, intuition, instinct, etc., are nothing but conditions of the emotionality. So we find then that the original form of man is emotionality. Thus it is emotionality that the intellect draws. Emotionality is its proper state, is the suitable womb for the birth of the intellect. This thing that is wrong with the African people and their descendants is in following a people who are not responsible for establishing them in the world. If they would stop following another people and try to find God, try to solve their problems upon their own strength, their own sensitivity, their own motivation, they would come to life once again. That is the answer, and it is as simple as that. We live in a country where we were once slaves, and what has been our path from slavery to freedom? It has been one of rejection and integration. We were struggling against social rejection to be integrated, to get into the mainstream of life in America. Our whole history as a people in this country has been one of struggling under the pressures of separation and segregation, and trying to get out in isolated situation and be accepted in the white man's society. Integration is not the answer in any unjust society. There is nothing wrong with integration. That is a sensible urge and direction to follow if the society is suitable. And when you are near, they will give you more and share with you what they have. But if there is a society in which you are not wanted, and that society is not based upon pure principles, the closer you get, the more the problem is upstage to keep you out. In their estimation, you come from a situation of subjection to another situation, of subjection, because they upstage the strategy to keep you out. And though you are in the society physically, you are not yet a part of it. Look at the word integration. The Nation of Islam under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was calling for separation, and the Civil Rights Movement was calling for integration. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad movement made more progress during the conflict of the Civil Rights Movement than ever before. Those were the glorious days of the Nation of Islam. The Nation of Islam were voicing a contrary or different opinion than the one voiced by the black masses or the Civil Rights Movement. The Civil Rights Movement gained prominence around 1954 or 55, when Dr. King and Rosa Parks brought the situation into the eyes of the nation and the world. And it was from that time on that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad began to make big outward gains. People in the Civil Rights Movement desired to be accepted as a natural part of the African life and society. Pardon me, not African life, American life in society. So the Nation of Islam was insisting upon its own life and identity, separate from the life of America, and the American society. So these two extremes were operating, one calling for integration, the other calling for separation. So Dr. King appealed to society's sentiments, a hurt woman. Why was one movement calling for integration? What was the main motive? The main force acting for integration, all you have to do is look at the character of the leader. The leadership was emotionality. Dr. King, with his ringing, beautiful oratory, was full of emotional impact. His appeal was not to the scientists of this society. His appeal was to the sentiment of the society. He was appealing to the society's sentiment to support something that is just no more than humanly decent. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, on the other side, was claiming to be pragmatic, claiming to be scientific. But actually, he was just the other side of the emotional ball, expressing the same thing. He was saying, "You devil, you." When asked why he called the white man the devil, he replied, "Because he mistreated my people and won't allow me the opportunity to get what he had." Both movements were of the same thing. One is the hurt woman that says, "Prove it to me that you are human being by loving me and letting me share your life." And the other is the hurt woman which says, "I don't believe in you anymore. It is finished for good." Donkey represents ignorant, uneducated people. The Quran, Surah 62, Ayah 5, Donkey Karen Books, Bukhari, page 5. 607, Prophet Rode White Mule. Matthew 21:2, Jesus asked for a donkey. What Jesus asked for, he said, "Go and find me a donkey untied, with no tie on him," meaning nobody has claim of him. It says, "And when you find him, bring him to me. And if anybody question you, tell them the master has use for them." He did not say, "Tell them Christ has use for them." Jesus has use for them. He said, "Tell them the master has use for him," for the donkey. So this donkey represents ignorant, uneducated people that nobody cared for. Out there, nobody claimed it. Nobody wanted him. He's too dumb to do anything and not even employable, and then stubborn too. So a donkey is not only dumb, he's stubborn. So he won't follow, and he's temperamental. He will carry you for a while and then stop for no apparent reason. And then look at you like he is saying, it's my business. I stop when I please. That is how he stops and looks at his rider. So Jesus donkey dissatisfied and defiant masses. But this is the kind of followers he wanted, because if he did, he wouldn't have said, "Get me a donkey untied." He did not say, "Get me a camel untied." A camel is not stubborn, defiant. A donkey is stubborn and defiant. So who is appealing to? The dumb, uneducated, ignorant masses who were dissatisfied and defiant. So he wanted to put something into the vessel, meaning they to do not have anything in their mind of what the world wants in the mind. So in the world, they are empty vessels. So he wants to put into those in the vessel a new wine. So this is scripture. If you don't know that Mr. Farad came in the role of Jesus Christ, playing the role of the Christ, then you don't know Mr. Farad yet. W.D. Farad or W.F. Muhammad, whatever you want to call him, that he left, those are his name. He came, he studied the Bible, and studied our condition, and he chose for himself to come into the role of Jesus Christ. Give me your tithe and your burden. How did Jesus Christ deal with the government? I'm coming back to Adam, but you should know this. How did Jesus Christ deal with the government? He knew the government would persecute him if the government knew what he was doing. He knew the government would stop him. So he presented himself to the government in a way to make the government permit him to do his work. He said, give me your tithe and burden. Isn't that what he said? So here he is appealing to the government people. You have some dissatisfied people. They are tired with all of the burden of your society on them. And they are the ones who will revolt or rebel against you. I come to save you from your own troubles that you have in your society. Give me these. I have something for them that will attract them and hold them. Now, can they trust him? The wise, they heard his language. They see his language. He's saying that I'm going to take away from you your fear of your disgruntled, unruly, bitter, and some angry members of your society. I want to take that burden off of you. I'm going to give them something that will contain them, hold them, and you won't have to worry about them. But can they trust him? So Juma, the Quran Surah 62, Ayat 7 to 10, leave business when called to prayer. So the purpose for our existence on this earth is to serve our God. And it doesn't mean in ritual. It means to serve God with your soul, with your intelligence, with your whole life. So this is another place. And I'm concluding this. This is, again, where we differ from this Western idea of freedom and democracy. We come to Juma and are told when the call of Juma prayer service is made, leave off business. So the businessman is ordered by God that when the call of Juma service is called, he has to shut up his shop. He has to close shop, stop selling, and hurry to Juma prayer service. Congregational prayer. So this is Al-Islam. The same chapter on the Quran on Juma says, and when the Juma prayer service is over, has concluded, disperse and go back into the avenues of business. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, is telling the business is necessary for the life and progress of society. But it is not the highest value. The highest value is devotion to your God. So when you are asked to come and devote your attention to your God, close up your shop and come and devote your attention to your God. Juma not rest day, but productive day. Then when the prayer service is over, go back to your business. Take care of your business. So our day out of the week, for prayer service is not a day of rest. So this is not separate from my point that I've been making ever since I began speaking. It is not a day of rest. Our rest is in our productive work. That's where our rest is. You want to rest, work, and produce. That's how you rest. So the more you reserve increases, the more your property grows, the more you rest. So understand, Muslims, we don't believe in one day of rest. We believe in 7 days of work, and that is our rest. And some of us, that's what happens. We get off work, and we go back Monday, and we are out of it. Can't recover from a weekend off from work. So we are not going to rest. Call to prayer, horn, ball, voice. Pardon me. Call to prayer, horn, bell, voice. The Quran Surah 62, ayat 9, call to prayer and leave off business. Mount Sinai, Turah Sinin, and it's a reference to spirit. But we will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m., inshallah. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Marad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.